Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. So, hope everybody is doing well. Glad we've made it through halfway through the week. And we are going to talk a little bit, hopefully, about a little air and a little space and a little sea. And we're going to start talking about what's going on with our space program or our, let's say, commercial space programs as well with Professor and Planetary Scientist Gal Fareed. Good morning. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning, Gretchen. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can. Welcome back. All right. How are you doing?
Doing well, you know, as can be expected.
I understand. Been kind of a turbulent time lately, trying to manage things in the midst of COVID. But I'm glad you were able to come back to us. And I'm going to start with the commercial portion before we get into the, I guess, scientific portion of what's going on in all things above, or some things above anyway. So, you know, we had the commercial millionaire or billionaire race or whatever, which I wasn't necessarily considering a race, but I just thought it was interesting, between Richard Branson and, oh gosh, now my 60-year-old brain is going a little bit, but Jeff Bezos. Right.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, first of all, is this more tourism, or is there any scientific benefit in terms of what is going on with this newfound commercial space market?
So I think at this point, when we're looking at, the ventures that Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos and the like are going for, it's mostly a proof of concept. Right, it's to show the ability of their spacefaring companies in getting their vehicles up and getting their vehicles to a certain threshold, to a certain line where they, you know, certain demarcation line, and that's part of the race, it's part of the taunt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you reach 83 kilometers? Do you reach 100 kilometers? Where's the common line? Where's the atmosphere? It's all a bit, you know. A bit of a there's a lot of ego wars going there,
right?
But in general, it's a proof of concept to show that we can do that in terms of the technical ability. In terms of science, well, there will be an advantage for science, but it will be to be continued. Not at this point.
Okay.
At this point, there isn't a lot of science that they're doing or in these kind of commercial flights. I will say, though, that Jeff Bezos' company, Blue Origin, is taking, for some time now actually, has been taking a very active role in NASA's programs that support science. There have been several payloads, scientific payloads, on Blue Origin orbital and suborbital launches that have been purely scientific, in the sense that They have been conceived by science teams in different universities. They have been analyzed by them, and their sole purpose and the funding that NASA provides to these programs, the sole purpose is to advance that scientific subfield, which that payload is looking at, be it granular material, planetary formation, botany in space, organic tissue response to G-forces, things like that.
I also wanted to ask, too, with the commercialization, with people, paying these exorbitant fees. Well, I guess you can't say exorbitant because there is a lot of cost involved in terms of sending man to space. But is it trivializing the space program in a way? Because, I think people kind of took it more seriously when it was primarily government-run. There were projects, that were being done, things that were being tested. So is it taking away from the importance of space exploration?
So I don't think it takes away from the importance of space exploration. I think it does. I think at least from my perspective, there are two very important things here, and they may be, a bit on the opposite sides. One is the important thing where it makes space seem more accessible. Now, I've put that accessible in, air marks because still I'm assuming neither you nor I can pay for a seat on Jeff Bezos' next commercial flight. I don't know about you.
Not until the lottery money comes in, no.
Exactly. So
right.
So, but it makes it more accessible in the sense that it's not now safeguarded behind, federal contracts and government gateways.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, it's more accessible, and also it kind of proliferates the interest and the employment in other places as well, where these companies put their factories, where they put their launch pads, where they hire more engineers and project managers that, eventually NASA and the government, they're a large employer, but they're a limited employer.
Okay.
So that's kind of the good thing. That's kind of the, sorry. On the other end, what is a bit more concerning, at least to me, is the fact that, as you actually put it very well at the beginning, it is kind of a race. And
okay.
when a race like that progresses, sometimes the goal at the end, right, who gets there first, who gets there biggest, might impact safety protocols.
Okay. And that has been part of my concern, is that it's in this hurry up and this, effort to best, someone else, things are getting lost in the shuffle, people trying to be one of the first to get up there, that they're not taking the proper protocols, the proper measures to ensure everyone's safety or the safety of the craft. And my other concern is, yes, I guess it's very economical to reuse some of these crafts, but don't we deal with a lot of fatigue? Isn't some of that what happened when we lost two of the shuttles? Was some of the fatigue that goes on with the constant reuse of these crafts?
Well, that's a great question. Like with any material, like with your car, right? Your car gets fatigued after several thousand miles, right?
Right. But it's on the Earth.
Of course. I'm not trying to imply that you're trying to launch your sedan into space. But like one billionaire did. But that is true. However, if we kind of follow the program that SpaceX has of launching and relaunching vehicles. That seems like more, that seems like you could strike the balance between the economics of it and the safety of it. Now, obviously, I would say you have to have, I mean, I think the only way this can actually be safe and progressive in the sense that it pushes us forward but not downward is to have a hybrid or collaborative federal-private integrations. So private companies, private entrepreneurs can push the envelope, but it needs to be within sort of a regulated, more federally regulated environment. A good recent example for that, for this kind of clash between what you want to do in terms of the private sector and what you can do in terms of the private sector and what something more regulated would probably introduce is all the satellites, the Starlink satellites that SpaceX has launched. They are already introducing a lot of noise in terms of light streaking through astronomical observation from Earth. So they are littering our images of the sky. And only now there's the beginning of this conversation of how we can, you know, kind of compromise everybody's interests and get the best result. While you would think this conversation should have been done before that launch, before launching, you know, a few dozen, a few hundred, or a few thousand up there. Same thing goes for the danger of space debris. If you launch hundreds or thousands of satellites around the Earth, you are eventually going to have some of them drift downwards and might increase the probability of two of these kind of orbits intersecting and colliding. Once they collide, they litter your near space environment around Earth with many, many small pieces of what we call junk, right? Metal junk. And so part of the problem is the fact that in essence, space exploration and space utilization needs to be holistic. It needs to consider a lot of aspects, and private sector push forward is almost inherently non-holistic. So that's where that kind of, that's where I see that clash, that potential clash.
You mentioned something that I was going to ask you about, and that was about the space debris and with the constant, you know, infiltrating of our atmosphere. You know, there's gases, there's all kind of stuff that's left, and that may change some of that environment up there, and that might be detrimental to us, right? I mean, I know we went through a period where we talked about damages to the ozone layer and things that we were doing down here that was causing a problem up there. But, I mean, with this constant infiltration up there, that's going to pose some kind of environmental problem for us at some point, won't it?
So not so much in terms of gases and you know, atmospheric composition or changing that in these gaseous compositions like what you mentioned about the ozone layer. The main problem would be that, you know, think of two satellites, each, mm-hmm. you know, let's take small satellites, each the size of a, you know, combined washer-dryer.
Okay.
Now, they both start drifting. After a certain time in orbit, they start drifting down, and their orbits start to overlap. At some point, they might collide. Once they collide, they will destroy each other. They will pummel each other to pieces because of the relative velocities. The relative velocities are high enough so that that collision between these two objects will basically disintegrate them into very small things. These small pieces will remain in that orbit around Earth. And so any subsequent launch that goes through that cloud of metal junk is in danger. You have to remember that the danger of colliding with something is not just how massive it is, but also what is the relative velocity between you two. So, you know, if I throw a small piece of, I'd say a very small pebble, if I just throw it at you, it's not going to hurt much, right?
Right.
Maybe it's going to, you know, a little bump or something. It depends how strong I am, right?
Right.
But what happens if I keep that pebble in place and you move toward it at, 9.8 meters per second, which is roughly the escape velocity from Earth. You're encountering at a very, very high velocity, and you're going to create a lot of damage to yourself. Obviously, I'm not advocating to try and launch Gretchen into space.
Thank
you. no, obviously. But if you now take your spaceship, your vehicle, and you launch it, and it encounters a kind of cloud of small particles at a very high speed, you are damaging that vehicle. And there's many implications for that. You can destroy a very expensive equipment. You might cause that vehicle to then lose orbit and fall back on Earth. If this is a crewed vehicle, you're endangering lives.
Right.
So the more we litter Earth, or sort of the near space environment of Earth, the more we present challenges and dangers to our, to our subsequent space exploration and utilization. And in a kind of weird way, we're generating another niche section, another niche economical and technological section, which is how to deal with space junk.
Right.
So we're producing space junk and then promoting another subfield of how to deal with space junk.
Right, exactly, because whatever you send up there has to be strong enough to withstand the heat and everything else in terms of getting up there. But so then you can't make it where it's going to easily disintegrate. So you've got to figure out, I guess, how to collect it and, I guess, dispose of it in some kind of way.
And there are companies that their main product, their main line of work is either tracking these space debris or
mm-hmm.
coming up with different strategies to deal with the space debris. And it's becoming, a kind of a subfield in the, I'd say, industry or technology sector, how to deal with that. And that's what I mean. That's part of what I mean when I say that space exploration and utilization is holistic. You can't just think of, I will build 100 small satellites and I'll launch them to wherever I want.
Right.
Once you launch them and they're out there, they impact many, many other aspects. And many, many other players are impacted by your decision, by your launch.
We are here with professor and research scientist Gal Fareed. This is G's Power Hour. I Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about other space news when we come back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Good morning still, sorry. Can't stop rushing the day. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Professor Dr. Gal Fareed, planetary scientist, research scientist. And I wanted to ask you about the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. Are there
mm-hmm.
any great times coming up where we can take a look at the Northern Lights this year, and where? Do you know? Can you tell us?
That's actually a great question. I did not follow these, but in general, I mean these are this phenomena of of electromagnetic connection and reconnection in the atmosphere is impacted mostly by the Earth's geomagnetic field and the and how the sun impedes on that. And so there are times, I know that there are times where the auroras to spread, you know, to lower latitudes, just
mm-hmm.
because of that kind of push, that interaction between the sun, between the sun's radiation and the Earth's magnetic field. But I mean, in general, you need to plan a trip to like a northern latitude. And if you're going somewhere like, you know, northern Canada or something, I'd be happy if you save a seat for me as well.
Okay. I have to plan that. Or Alaska is a good place usually, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Alaska is generally a good place to see these. But I did not follow the latest solar activity, so I don't know to tell you what
okay.
is the prediction right now.
Yeah, I know I caught you off guard with that one. Sorry. I happened to glance at something on space.com. And it mentioned that, and I was like, So the other thing I wanted to ask you about was the Boeing Starliner.
Mm-hmm.
They've been trying to launch it. They've scrubbed the launch and everything. Do you know what the difficulty has been with getting this off the ground, and what also is the significance of this particular launch?
So I'll start with the last question. I think the significance of this particular launch is that Boeing, for a very long time, has been a major player in you know, space launches and space exploration. They've been a major partner with NASA and federal contracts, and so that kind of push towards getting reusable capsules, reusable vehicles, crewed vehicles. Has been obviously, it obviously started with, you know, government handing out contracts to their partners, but it's been pushed into very high gear by what we talked before, by people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and to a certain degree Richard Branson, which basically said, we are not waiting for the government timeline. We're working on our own timeline in the way we want to do it. So they've kind of put sort of a mirror to these companies like Boeing, like ULA, United Launch Alliance, where they're saying, you have your way of working, we have our way, and look, we're getting that timetable quicker, we're getting to that point faster. We're introducing reusable rockets, we're introducing crewed reusable capsules, and we're showing that not only can we can build them and get them off the launching pad, but we can also get them back and then relaunch them. And so the importance for Boeing is to show that they're still in the game, right? So that's
exactly,
answer your first question. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's answer your first question. I know that both Boeing and the United Launch Alliance, they have had a lot of technical problems getting it to this point. Some of it is probably engineering related, and I'm not versed in the details. Some of it is actually, you know, the risk averse nature of the way that they're used to working. I don't know if you remember, but especially in Central Florida, we've seen a lot of SpaceX rockets just blow up on the pad, blow up when they try to land. A lot of
mm-hmm.
a lot of SpaceX rockets blew up, right?
Right.
But then they got it, and once they did, it works.
Right, because they're kind of like, it almost seems like, and I know it's not, but it almost seems like every other week there's a SpaceX now that is going somewhere.
And lands pretty much perfectly.
Right, and
the reason that they've got to this point of both the ability and the cadence to do it is because they were less risk averse from the beginning. They did not care if their first, second, or fifth rocket blew up. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The more traditional contracts are much more risk averse. So they will want to have their first or second product be perfect. And that takes probably more time and that takes more effort. And so the Starliner launch is very important for Boeing to show that they are in the game, that they're showing their most advanced technology to date, on par with the other players in the field. To be honest, and again, this is really only just my subjective view of it. They're
mm-hmm.
falling behind. They're just falling behind.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because they're not reacting. They're not reacting fast enough, and they're not changing the way that they're able to get through these development stages. A company like SpaceX lost a lot of money at the beginning, right? The development
mm-hmm.
and the failure of a lot of their vehicles, they lost a lot of money. But the projection was, we will lose a lot of money now in order to, you know, get control of that part of the market in order to be a very successful player once we get it right. And the thing is, once they got it right, they were first. And so now every other player in that field is playing catch up.
Okay. All right. So what has to happen? What has to happen to get things back on track, you know, or to make things more progressive?
That's a great question, and I'm neither a business or a or an economic
okay.
expert.
So we're looking more at that aspect. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's no problem for Boeing to hire engineers and to develop advanced capabilities. I think it's just a matter of being able to, you know, push it, I would say, faster, but also in a more innovative way where they're less risk averse. The problem with big companies that relied on big contracts forever is that it's not in their nature.
Okay. I'm sorry. I guess there was some interference with my phone, so I missed part of that. But anyway, so what should we be looking at other than SpaceX? What other things should we be looking at for the rest of 2021?
Well, first of all, next week, today is the 4th of August, so next week on the 12th, 8 days from now, is the wonderful Perseids meteor shower. One of the brightest, most fun meteor showers that I know. It has a good rate of seeing in the sky. I mean, you can see a bunch of meteors throughout the night. It's in the summer, so you can stay up late and it's not cold or anything. And for the most part, you'll have probably good weather. Not too cloudy, so you can see a lot of it. And it's coming up in 8 days, August 12th. And it's another very interesting meteor shower. It's not only prolific, but it's also one of the meteor showers that's connected to a very interesting comet called Comet Swift-Tuttle. So that's what we can look for next week. I'm going to try and stay up late for that, although, you know, having kids and work is sometimes detrimental to enjoying the next night. but in general, that's up for next week. For the rest of the year, I don't remember any specific big space exploration launch that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Next year we'll have a few.
Okay. Well, we'll have to check back with you and get the rundown or the outline or agenda for what's coming up for next year so that we know what to watch for. So I thank you for taking the time to join us today. I really appreciate it. Always great to have you on and to get us informed in terms of what's going on in the space race. So thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Gretchen. You too. Have a great day.
Take care. That was Professor Gal Fareed, research scientist, and this is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. The number, if you have a topic that you want to discuss, 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the arc with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Also want to thank again Professor and Research Scientist Gal Fareed for joining us to talk a little bit about the space program. So we're going from space and air to sea. Today is National Coast Guard Day, celebrated on August 4th, and it celebrates and honors all of the courageous work of the service members of the Coast Guard. So I don't know, because I was scrambling. We were all scrambling. We had a miscommunication, but we got the Coast Guard on today. I don't know who we have, but good afternoon. Welcome. Uh-oh. Well, maybe we don't. We were supposed to have somebody on from the Coast Guard, but anyway, just to give you all a little update, the United States Coast Guard is one of the six U.S. Armed Forces. It's a branch of the military, but they are what they call a multi-mission service. This is one of the blurbs that I found today on the National Day calendar, which I get a lot of interesting stuff from. It operates under the Department of Homeland Security, but their responsibilities can be transferred to the U.S. Navy by the President of the United States anytime deemed necessary, or by Congress during wartime. It says that since 1790, the Coast Guard's missions have changed. As the National Military Services grew, maritime needs evolved. And in 1917, the first Coast Guard aviators graduated from Pensacola Naval Air Training School. Today, aviation is a large part of the Coast Guard security enforcement and defense readiness. And, you know, we have a very active Coast Guard here in Florida. Let me check. Do we have someone on yet from our Coast Guard? Good afternoon. Hello? Okay.
Yes.
Going to take – oh, hello? Good afternoon. Hi. Okay. So we're still waiting on that. Hello? Keeps sounding like I'm hearing someone, but then it kind of goes away. So that's why I was checking. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to check, and we will be right back. This is G's Power Hour. I never had a good entertainment. And like I said, if you have a topic that you want to address, the number is 516-387-1944. Deep Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
This is Douglas Dobbs owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. If you have a topic that you want to address, the number is 516-387-1944. But we wanted to honor our National Coast Guard. Today is National Coast Guard Day. Did we manage to get someone on yet? Okay. Unfortunately, we did not. But we're going to try. If we don't do it today, we're going to try to get them back on another time, either this week or possibly next week. In the meantime, just wanted to remind you, Friday, our first Friday, we have our economist, Paul V. Shelton, on. He's going to chat with us. And we're going to try to do a somewhat of a back-to-school segment with regards to the economy then as well. So, anyway, thanks for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. We'll talk tomorrow. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
He'll make it all right. God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Whole church, he'll make it all right.
Whatever
the answer.
Whatever.